First of all, I want to thank my good friends Chanadvar and David Carmeli for opening up their home for us once again for this year. This is a home that I've been in many times. I know very well, and it's filled with the bracha of Hashem and the bracha of Torah and Chesed, and it continues to be in each and every room with all the children, just bracha and nachas and hatzlacha. We're going to begin to learn the halachas of being down the katzchus of judging another person in a good way. Until now, we've been talking about some of the background of Tikkun HaMidos, working on ourselves in general. And specifically, last time, we were talking about the urgency, the importance of this Midah of being down the katzchus and how it affects our lives, every single minute of our lives. We need to go through the halachas. The halachas are not simple. And as I said to you, when it comes to the halachas dealing with Tikkun HaMidos, with working on HaMidos, it sometimes becomes difficult to distinguish between clear-cut halacha, the way that we used to halacha in Shabbos, and the halachas of davening, and so on. Whereas here, the halachas and the halacha and the non-halacha part of the inyan often merge, and it's difficult sometimes to clarify the boundaries. However, we're going to proceed based upon the teachings of the Rishonim, primarily Rabbi Yonah, and the Achronim, primarily the Chofetz Chaim, Schusi Hagen Aleinu. So we're going to begin with the halachas. We'll get to the page that you have. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Rashi in Shavuos, the Gemara in Shavuos, which we saw last time, the Gemara which is the basis of the din of this mitzvah from the Torah to give a person the benefit of the doubt, to judge a Jew in a proper and a good way. So Rashi over there on the mitzvah of being down the kafschus writes, you don't have this in front of you, but Rashi writes, Imroa Adam, Imroa Chaveiro, Osedava. Rashi says that if you see another Jew doing something, Ubiyodo Lahachrio Litzad Aveiro Litzad Schus. Rashi says that you could interpret that act either in a good way, in an acceptable, positive way, or it could be interpreted in a way that's not good. But if it's biyodo lahachriyo litzad aveiro litzad schus, if you could interpret it either as being an aveiro or as being okay, as being a tzad schus, yachriyehu litzchus, Rashi writes in explaining that Gemara that you should be machriye it. You should try to understand it, to see it in a way that is positive, neschus. V'yikayim b'kach ha-mitzvah saseh. And in doing so, you will be able to fulfill the positive commandment of b'tzedek tishpot, the samisachah, the mitzvah that we spoke about last time, to judge a person in a righteous and in a good way. V'yichashdeyu ba'aveir. And do not suspect that what actually happened is the Aveira. Do not suspect that the Aveira took place. Now, what we need to learn is when we talk about being down the kafschus, there are really two things that are always, there are really two elements that are always involved. One is the actual maise, the actual act that took place. You see somebody going in a car on Shabbos, God forbid. You see somebody in the car on Shabbos. I remember when we had Surrey, so we were in the car, we were in a taxi Shabbos, and people were just taking walks. It was a nice summer night, Friday night, and I was passing by, and friends were waving. They see much in the car, and they wave, and then you see they go. Then we turned around, they were going, it's Shabbos, and it's Friday night. So what is mitzad ha-maiser? In other words, what is the physical thing that's taking place? And and how do we interpret the maiser? And the other is, who is the person who's doing this? And this becomes very complicated. It could be that the same act, that if we would see an unsavory character doing it, or somebody who was not known to be particularly careful with mitzvahs, perhaps we'd be able to judge that one way. If we would see a Jew who, let's say, is a great tzaddik, or a talmid chacham, or a tzaddikus, that we know is always so careful with mitzvahs, that same act might be judged differently. Then if we see an average person who's observant of mitzvahs, But like, you know, like all of us, you have, you know, good days and bad days. Good days and bad days. Good times and bad times. Like I always say, the Maaseh, that I'm sure that you've heard from me or from others, that when the Satan Rebbe first came to America, so you remember that it used to be the butcher shops that had those Bosa Kosher. It looked like it said Bosa Bosa. You know what I'm talking about. With the neon lights, Bosa Kosher. So the Satan Rebbe was being taken to a wedding when he first got to America, and he saw this Bosa Kosher in the light, and the sign was flashing on and off. So he said, I'm all kosher, I'm all nit. Sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's not kosher. Right? So most of us might fall into that category. We try to be good, we try to be observant, but I'm all kosher, I'm all nit kosher. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So then it could be the same act, but the person who's doing this might be on a different level, and we're going to see that in halach, this is where it becomes complicated, and we're going to learn that piece that you have in front of you from Ben Yonah. It becomes complicated, because we always have to look at these two things. What is the actual event, A, and B, who is the person that is involved? Before we even enter into that complication, the poskim generally agree that even though we have this area of halacha that says that it's forbidden to be machri letzad chova, to learn or to interpret this in a negative way when you can interpret it in a positive way, but the poskim generally agree that it's a wonderful thing if you could just ignore something altogether. In other words, we're already talking about a situation where you find that you're troubled by something. You're troubled by something, you've noticed, and you're not able to just walk away from something. The poskim all agree, the Chafetz Chaim wrote this in many places, that ideally, and my father used to always say, it's better not to look. You know, don't look, don't think about it, don't pay attention, what is by Yanim, what's by another person. And the poskim agree, and they bring this down the halacha, that if it's possible for you to remain in a state of not knowing at all, of not paying attention to what is by Yanim, what's by the other person, that is certainly, the Chafetz Chaim and the other poskim agree, that is the lechachila, that's ideal. If you don't get caught up thinking about what other people do. Of course, that's in an ideal situation, and the less you know about the details, and the less you know about the individual, the easier it is to have a positive outlook on life. And you know how it is: the more you dig into something, and the more you ponder, and the more you work it through in your brain, the less likely it is to stay something which is good. So therefore, before we even begin to go into all the details of halacha, you have to realize that lechatchila, that the ideal thing is to look away. It's not to look what another person is doing. And if you see something and it looks like it's not, so before it gets complicated, bechlal not to go into it. This is of course a major problem when it comes to newspapers, even Jewish newspapers. And that's why there are many tzaddikim who are upset bechlal about journalism, because journalists make their money by catching your attention. The whole tachlis of the avod of the work of a journalist is not merely to report the facts, because that's not going to sell too many papers, but it's to provoke and to get people excited and interested. So there's a problem. And we're not going to go into that right now. The issues that are involved with journalism and Lashon Hara and Mechilas and being dan lekaf chova and putting a negative spin on a situation, when writing a story about the Jewish newspapers are always writing stories about Jews, so to put a negative spin on a story, so it could be that in Jewish journalism they could be violating averus left and right, of Lashon Hara, of Rechilas, and of being down the Kaf Chova, of putting a negative spin on a situation which could have been either ignored, and what's it your business, and who has to know about it anyway, and then once they're reporting it, one word like this or one word like that could be deraisas and derabbanans all over the place. You could open up a newspaper and there could be like red, you know, crosses of it, deraisa, 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 all over the newspaper. So that's a very big problem. Also, before going into the Rabbeinu, before going to the halacha, the Torah was mechadesh, the Torah revealed in this mitzvah being done lekav schuz, that even though we see an act, because this is something which people find most difficult, and we're going to talk about it, that when you see a maisa, when you see something which is mitzad atzmo, in of itself, it looks like something very bad is taking place. The maisi itself, the act itself, does not look like it's something which is naita, that is inclined or leaning towards schus. Nevertheless, the Torah says, I have a mitzvah lahatosa l'tzad schus, to try to push it over to the tzad schus, to the positive side. And herein lies the real problem, which we're going to talk about more in later discussions, mitzvah Hashem, during the year, when we get more into the avodah, into the hashkafa, into the musar, into the chassidus, past the halacha. But the real problem is that many people are constantly troubled by this, that how are you supposed to interpret something in a positive way when you know, when it's pretty clear to you that this is not a good situation, and it's not something which is mysterious, it's not cloaked in anything Kabbalistic, it's pretty obvious, and you know the person, and it's something which is not good. And the Torah comes along and says that that you are violating a commandment by not putting a positive spin on it, which itself seems like something which is against, which is keneged a person's teva, a person's nature. To this, there are two responses. Now, how are you supposed to do this? And this seems almost silly. Like, you know, if you do this, when you're trying to do this, there's a little thing in the back of it that says, yeah, sure. Yeah, this is a big mitzvah he's doing. This is terrific. There's nothing bad about this. So how do you get past that, yeah, sure, when it comes to the mitzvah being down the kaf schus, of judging something in a favorable way? So the Torah has two responses, which we're going to go into much, much more later on. The first is that we've seen this 1,000 times, and everybody in this room right now can tell many, many stories about how often we've made mistakes. Pashut, there are many, many situations where it seems certain to you, because of your knowledge of this person's history, and what seems to you to be something which is clearly wrong. Every single person can make a mistake, particularly when you have negias. Now, what are negias? Negias means that sometimes the very same act, when there's somebody that you like that does it, you are able to see something positive. You are able to be down the kaf schus. You are able somehow to find an explanation and to interpret it in a good way. But if it's somebody who you, God forbid, who you dislike, particularly if it's somebody who you're jealous of, so then it's very difficult. We'll talk about this more later on. You can have the same person. That when that person, if you don't like that person, you've had complications with that individual, so then every single thing that he or she does, you see in a negative way. And then all of a sudden a person like invites you to a simcha and is friendly for the first time in 30 years and says, hi, how you been? And then all of a sudden it's amazing how, no, she's not so bad. And not everything is such a big aveira that she does. And you have to lama schus on a Jew. You know, you could become very nice all of a sudden in response to the nice behavior that you see in this person. So the first thing is that unless you're a person who's working on the other midas, meaning on kinna, trying to overcome envy, jealousy, but overcoming that, which is very, very hard. We spoke about it in the country this summer. There are 9 shiurim. It's not making it the tape set, but the 9 shiurim I gave on this Indian of overcoming envy, struggling with jealousy, is very hard. When you're envious, it's hard to see anything good. Even mitzvahs are sour. Even the good things that person that you're jealous of look like they're not good, let alone to try to see the things that could be interpreted in a negative way, in a positive way. So without working on the other midas of kinna, when it comes to covet, when a person is seeking covet, and so on, all of those negative midas would mean that there's some sort of an interest that you would have in interpreting that person's life and his actions in a negative way. Therefore, the Torah has commanded us, and the Torah is saying to you, listen, Rabbiad, there are many, many reasons why you would make a mistake in how you interpret this person's life. There are many reasons. Some that, if you're honest, you'll admit that you're jealous or that you dislike the individual. You've had difficulties with that person in the past. The person might even just be, you know, you're an Ashkenazi. It's a Sephardi. A Sephardi is an Ashkenazi. It's a Gilitzian. It's a Hungarian. It's a Litvak. It's a Chalazi. But, well, Narishkeit. whatever it might be, that would in a very subtle way cause you to look at this person. And how many times I've heard, or we could catch ourselves saying, well, you know the Israelis, oh well, you know the Swadesh, oh, you know the Chassidim, and so on. And if it would be a someone that's not a Sfaradi, or not a Litvak, or not a Chassid, or not whatever it is that you have problems with, so then you would have a different way of looking. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and he told us that, first of all, suspect that within yourself there is something inaccurate in how you're looking at an individual, particularly if you know the person and there have been even the slightest difficulties, or on some level you have not had a favorable interpretation of that person before. So that's why the Torah can come along and say that you are commanded to try to rise above that smallness and to force yourself in ways that we're going to learn how to be matted, to try to incline this whole interpretation, to move it towards a positive way. So this is the first mahalach, and then it will be emes. In other words, the Torah, as we were growing up, we thought that to be down the cup schus means to come up with some crazy, wild, like bizarre interpretation. You know, the reason that the person acted that way is because, you know, of maybe there was some horrible thing that happened in his home this morning. There was some tremendous fight between the husband and wife, and that's why at work the person, you know, yelled at me. So we think that you have to have a terrific imagination, and that the whole mitzvah of being Talmid Chacham Sefer is to make up something that's not true. That's not, the Chafetz Chaim says, the inyan being Talmid Chacham Sefer is to try to come to the emes. That's the beginning, is to try to come to the truth, not to live in some fantasy. We have negative fantasies that destroy people. The mitzvah of being down the kav schus is to try to bring ourselves closer to the emes, to the truth. That's why it says, "Bitzedek tishpot." The mitzvah is to judge right. It doesn't say to make up stories. It says, "Bitzedek tishpot." That maybe, if you push yourself in ways that we're going to learn, maybe you can come to the emes. Not to something crazy, but to the emes of what really happened. That's Aleph. Beis, we're going to talk about this a lot. A major component in this whole inyan of being down the kav schus is trying to understand or come to terms with the kavana of the person who did the act. In other words, and this is something we're going to get to a little bit, maybe even later tonight. In other words, there are certain things that take place that the act itself is clearly unacceptable. An aveira has taken place. And in order to say anything else, you really would have to have a crazy imagination. I mean, it's absurd. An aveira has taken place, and you know it could be that you've looked into the possibilities that maybe it wasn't an aveira, but it's an aveira. So then the second level of being Talmid Chacham Sefer is, okay, this is an aveira, but then the question is, was the person's intention to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, what was the person's intention? So first of all, what we're going to discuss is taking into account a person's background. Does the person come from an observant home? B, even if it was observant, perhaps there was something in the home, in the background, that had an impact upon that person's way of dealing with you and other things as well. These interpretations are not trying to redefine an act that took place. Sometimes you can't hide from the act that took place. Lamaisa, something negative has happened. But then as far as the kavana of the one who is doing it, here, you know, when we talk about it, when we have all the stories from the Kedushas Levi. So last night in the Chassidus class, we were learning a story from the Badishtva. When the Badishtva came to Warsaw, there was a Yid in Varsha by the name of Beinish. This Beinish was the worst Jew in Warsaw. And when nobody could even talk to him or go near, everybody hated him. And when the Badishtva saw him, he said, Sacha Beinish, the Badishtva used to call every Jew, my heart. So he said, my heart, Beinish, my heart. And he said to him, if you attach yourself to the root of your soul, you could be the greatest, you know. And the Badishtva couldn't stop talking words of love and of his karvas. And it says that all the people that were sitting there were laughing, like the Badishtva was, you know, Beinish. And even the tzaddikim who were with him started to giggle. So the tzaddik from Kamarna, when he said over this ma'aseh, I explained this last night, the Rebbe from Kamarna said, The Kedusha Levi, you think the Kedusha Levi was like, the Kedusha Levi didn't know who Beinish was? I spoke about this a little bit on Shabbos. The Kedusha Levi was able to look into your eyes and look at your forehead and know your entire life. So you think that the Bedishiva didn't know what Beinish was up to? The Bedishiva knew more than anybody what Beinish was up to. All of his mischief. So how come he could say, my heart, Beinish, you know what a tzaddik you are, you know what a kaddish you are, attach yourself to the root of your soul? You know how come the Kedusha Levi can love Beinish? The Teretz is because the Kedusha Levi knew everything that Beinish had done, but he also knew the kind of pain that Beinish was in. He knew probably what kind of broken home he was from. He was able to see to the depths of a Jew and to know that the sheresh, the root of each and every Jew is mamish toiv. And when you see something, it looks like, and you see that it's something wrong that took place, but only Hashem is yireh l'levav. It says, ha'adam yireh l'einayim, a person can only see with his eyes, and only the Rebbeinu Shlomo is chayker lev, is able to see to the depths of a person's heart. And we're going to talk a lot about this more when we get to the more to the Musar and to the Chassidus. So therefore, when you see something and you're asked, you see something that's a negative thing, an act that took place is a negative thing, and you're asked to come up with something that in your mind is irrational. You know, you're telling me to put a spin on it. You're telling me to put a spin, to try to turn this around and to say that it's good, it's due to be done with kavzchus. And it seems to be something which is mamish, which is mamish irrational. So the teretz is that other rabbim, when it comes to disliking a person, isn't it amazing? When it comes to seeing something which is litzad chayva, that you don't like and you see things in a negative way, even though al pisechel, there's much that could be said to explain, there's much that could be said to try to find something favorable in the person, yet you will have an irrational negative way at looking at someone who you don't like. We look at, and those become irrational. Somebody could, this, if it's somebody you don't like and the person just didn't say good morning to you, you know, it's like this whole conspiracy, you know, that maybe she wants to kill me, she's trying, you know, who knows what, and it becomes such an irrational thing. That's connected to seichel. But to see a Jew who does something, and to try to believe that when it, that really there's a tzad ha-toiv, and the person's intentions were not to hurt you, sometimes if a person has a different way of talking, this is plus a different way of talking. And it doesn't mean that individual meant to be rude or to be in any way to treat you in a dishonorable way. It's just a certain mahalach of how to talk, of how that person was raised, speaking in a certain way. And you know, if you'll be in a neighborhood, let's say we'll call it a Haimish neighborhood. So sometimes it could be that, you know, you'll hear somebody, that somebody will say something to you, it sounds like it's terribly rude. And where you come from, there would be many more, you know, introductions and hakdamas and thank yous and your welcomes and how you doing and good morning. And over here, you know, like, you know, just like, you know, grunts. And you said, what horrible, rude people. Terribly rude people. And if you would say that to any, to 99.9% of any of that chever, they'd be shocked, because they're the sweetest, most wonderful people, just like us. It's not right to grunt at people, and you certainly should say thank you, have a nice day, and so on. However, there is such a thing where the cultural, I'm not going to get into it, there are cultural, social things where people grow up in a certain kind of an environment where there are certain niceties that are taken for granted, which does not mean that these people are not rude. You could have people that will say thank you, you're welcome, and open doors and so on, and then they'll push you off a roof. And then you'll have other Jews that they don't say the thank you as much as they should, but they might not say all those things, but they'll run into in the morning and risk their life to help you out, and every one of them would. So when you see somebody that acts in a way that is not according to your social background or your cultural concept of what's considered to be refined behavior, so to be damakavskus doesn't mean maybe he really did say thank you. No, he didn't. He just grunted. He didn't say thank you. So that's not being because that's crazy to say that he said thank you, because he didn't say thank you. But he's thinking thank you. Now that is letzatz chus, meaning that it could be there's a certain familiarity, and especially again, in that context, in that scenario, the chlal, as you know, that with men and women, there are different rules about how they conduct each other and how they speak to each other. That has nothing to do with being polite or impolite. It has to do with certain upbringing. But I've heard many, many times, it's disgusting. That's disgusting. And that person is the nicest person. He would never want to hurt you. He'd never want to insult you. He just doesn't have that ma'alach. He wasn't raised with that kind of sensitivity. He's supposed to be a gentleman in a certain way and say, please, madam, you first. And if you would hear it, you'd fall down, right? If you'd hear such a thing and lying, you'd say, I can't believe it. And you'd probably say, he's probably about Shuva. Right? You'd never believe it, like he's from the neighborhood. So to be Dalmakav Schus over there is not Lafida Maisa. We're going to talk about it. There you really have to... And this is what the B'ditchva's life was all about. That you have to, at the time that you see something negative of a person, you have to be ma'ira, the ahava, you have to awaken within your heart the love of another Jew and the belief in the real goodness of the person, that goodness that is beneath the layers of unrefined and uncultured, let's say, behavior, but that beneath his toiv, a Yid is good, a Jew is holy, a Jew is pure, a Yid is a tzaddik, a chassid, and a kaddish. And that's why the B'nai Yeshiva can see Beinish and say, Beinish, I love you. Because the B'nai Yeshiva knew about all of his mistakes, but the B'nai Yeshiva believed exactly that. They were mistakes. This person was not someone that wanted to hurt or to rebel. He was a person whose life was caught up in different things. That's a different type of being down the kavshus. It's certainly one, and we're going to talk mostly about that. That is something that 99.999% of the time you could do. Even though many times, as far as the act is concerned, there's very little that you could say to try to fix it. The guy didn't say thank you. Lamaisi didn't say thank you. Now, I'm giving an example of something that's not an aveira. But in the case where it would be mamish an aveira, sometimes you see it's an aveira. There's no way out. However, this way of the tzaddikim, of the Chavetz Chaim, Kedushas Levi, you know how many stories there are. I'm going to talk more myself from Raditshva. So you know, the same thing that you and I would see, for instance, I'm just going to remind you of some stories that you know from Kedushas Levi, that they're famous, all of you have heard them. But you know the Maisa when they were standing there in Beis Medrash, it was davening, and there was a year that towards the end of davening, with his talis and tefillin, he went outside to oil his wagon. He was getting ready for the day. So with a talis over the head, and his tefillin, he went with a can of oil to get the horse and wagon, to get everything ready. So the Jews inside this marriage went crazy. How could that be? Chutzpah, talis and tefillin. And there was a commotion. They were all standing by the window, like getting cursing and being angry. And the B'ditch was still as a tumult. And he ran over and he looked out the window. And he says, give that kick. He says, look at Yankel. Even when he's oiling his wagon, he can't tear himself away from Hashem. He has to have his talis and tefillin. So we all smile and say, Reb Levi Yitzchak, he's so sweet, but you're just totally out of it. Yankel is just oiling his wagon, and he doesn't care about his talis and tefillin. He's just going to hurry, and he's probably going to tear them off in a second. So who's right? B'tzedek tishpat amisacha, so we live, and we think that the stories about the B'ditshva are so cute, they're so adorable. No, that's a mistake. The B'ditshva was right. The B'ditshva was right. Even though Yaakov himself was a Rebbe, it's not true. Or like the Maisi when the B'ditchev saw that there was a young man that was smoking on Shabbos in B'ditchev. In those days, that was very unusual in public. This man was smoking on Shabbos. So B'ditchev ran over to him and says, my precious child, probably you forgot that today is Shabbos. He says, of course, I know it's Shabbos. Oh, so he says, probably you forgot that it's forbidden to smoke on Shabbos. He says, Rebbe, you think I don't know the halacha? Of course I know you can't smoke on Shabbos. I know it's Shabbos, I mean, I like to smoke on Shabbos, I'm smoking anyway. So the B'ditchev says, Mikam Chisrael, he went around the whole town saying, you see, who's like, Mikam Chisrael, that even to a Rebbe, a Jew can't lie, even to a Rebbe, a Jew won't say a lie. Even though he could have gotten out of it, he wouldn't, a Jew, no matter what, a Jew tells the truth. So again, that's so cute, it's Amos. Our problem is that we're so caught up in the alma de shirku, we don't see in the world of falsehood and delusion, that we can't see to the essence of a Jew, and because of that we just descend into that negative, horrible negative interpretation of whatever that person does, without seeing who the person is. So we're gonna have to talk about that. We're gonna have to talk about that a lot. How do we know? To what degree can we use this? So first of all, Before we go into the Rabbeinu Yonah, it's poshut. The most obvious thing according to halacha is that if the etzem ha-maisi, if the act itself, for instance, you see somebody in the car on Shabbos, and you know that this person, looking for the person, is not driving on Shabbos. So if the etzem ha-maisi, if the act itself is noitilus chus, which means it's pretty clear that the act itself is not an intentional, is not any kind of an aveir that you would ever think this person would do. So then certainly al pi seichel, you don't have to work on it. Al pi seichel, with just a simple intellect, the mitzvah of Bitzedek Tishvat Amisecha comes here and says that you don't have to make up anything. Like the Targum Unklus translate, Bitzedek is Bekushta, that the truth is, Bekushta means emes, that the emes is that I have a very simple way of explaining this. Right? You know that this person's, you know that the person's wife is expecting, you see them in the car. You don't have to have an imagination that mitzad the maisi itself. The maisi itself is not the litzad schus. It's not. You see somebody who normally is in shul leaves early. The person that normally is careful about being in shul leaves early. So the mitzad the maisi. The maisi itself, it's not so mysterious. He probably has a stomachache or he has to be home. Somebody's not well, God forbid, in the house. Whatever it is, it's not a difficult thing because it's mitzvah. You know, it's poshut. It's obvious that there's a very easy schus. There's a very easy positive thing that you could see. However, halacha says that even in a case where it's 50-50, 50-50 means that it doesn't have to be exactly 50, but it's shakul. Shakul means that you have a suffix. Something means like you could say like this and you could say like that. You could say, you know, it's mitzad, in other words, the act itself. You could be neiter to the positive side or you could go to the negative side. Here too, the mitzvah deraisa, the positive command from the Torah, mitzadik tishpot, means mitzadik means that the emes is that the emes is that it can be it should and it must be interpreted in a positive way. Now we're going to learn that there are certain situations where there's a complete chiyuv, there's a complete din from the Torah to judge favorably. There are other situations where the poskim will say nachon ma'od ladon l'kav schus, which means you don't have to from the Torah, but it would be very proper to. And we're going to see the differences when nachon ma'od, it would be very right to do it, but if you don't see the, if you don't judge it favorably, you have not violated an aveira in that situation. Again, I'm going to give examples, and then there's a third thing where it's called the mida tova ba'alma, which according to halacha, you don't have to put a positive spin on this, and even in terms of it being nachon ma'od, you don't have to, but it's a mida tova. It would be a good mida for you to try to always see things in a good way. And we're going to see when these different things apply. Now, what you have in front of you, the page in front of you, is from Shari Chu from Rabbeinu Yonah. We have to learn it very carefully inside. This is within the writings of the Rishonim, considered to be the most basic categorization of the different types of people. Right, so just this moment I was talking about an act itself, where the act itself is either seems to be something which is fine, then you must see it in a good way, or even if it's like 50-50, you still must see it, you must give the positive interpretation. Now we're going to talk about when you could have a maaser that could be interpreted like this or like that, but the person is, there are different types of people. That's what we're going to talk about now. Depending upon the kind of person, you might have to apply a positive thing and the mitzvah of being down the kav schus, or you might either be exempt, or as we'll see, when it comes to people who are halachically considered to be wicked, and there are very few Jews like that, but someone who's halachically wicked, not only are you allowed to see him in a negative way, but you are advised to davka to see him in a negative way. So, that or that act in a negative way. So let's learn the side that's, I think I wrote one on the first side, I don't remember. Okay, so it's the Shin Sadik, that side. This is from, as you see, the Shar Shlishi in the classic work of Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva, Reish Yud Ches. V'alech Ladas. He said, and you must know, Ki onesh ha'avil ha'melitz asham. That when is a person punished for proclaiming somebody guilty, in other words, for seeing another Jew as being guilty, for seeing somebody in a negative way, ki onesh ha'avil, the punishment of the fool, who's melitz asham, who sees something in a negative way, when is that? So he says, einenu zelasi ki itein dofi, it's when you have a negative interpretation of what? Be'ish yirei chet, when there's a person who you know to be God-fearing, the person who normally is observant, is yirei chet. Asher yiskefo yitz, and it could be, you're wondering, that maybe the Yetzer Hara got the better of this person, maybe something went wrong, and he was reingechapt by the Yetzer Hara, chapt him. V'yaver v'ashem. And there's something with the yirei chet. There's a God-fearing, observant person who you see him doing something he shouldn't do. So then, the Rabbi Yonah says that regarding such a person, you are forbidden to maintain this negative way of looking at him. Why? Ki minhago v'darkel is charet al chatov. So Rabbi Yonah is saying something else here. He's adding something. Rabbi Yonah is saying that even though you actually did see this person do something, and you're horrified by it, it certainly is out of character. It's a yirei chet. It's a God-fearing person doing something that's out of character. So here there's something else. The Gemara says that if you see a God-fearing Jew do something that's wrong, you should assume that even though it might have happened, that the person immediately regretted doing it, and that the person did tshuva. Because the way of a God-fearing Jew is that even if it happens sometimes that the Yetzer Hara, God forbid, gets the better of him, but he regrets it, and he does tshuva. The kol shekein imnoi dahadovek yichazah b'tshuva. And certainly, if it's known that the person was chazah b'tshuva, that the person no longer does this, and the person has changed his ways. But even if you don't know that he was chayzer b'tshuva, even if you don't know what happened afterwards, here, since it's a yirei chet, since we're dealing with a person who you know is a God-fearing person, therefore, even though something might have happened, something did happen. But Rabbi Yonah says that because of the nature of this individual, the mitzvah here to be damakat schus is not to make believe it didn't happen. Unfortunately, it happened, and you saw it happen. But the mitzvah is to be damakat schus that certainly, he regretted it. Certainly, by the time the sun has come up, he's already done tshuva, and it will never happen again. That's the first thing. Aval, however, category number two. Aval. Ha'ish asher teida. He goes to the opposite extreme. Aval ha'ish, the person. Asher teidu v'chantez darko. You know and you've seen, meaning over time, this is not, it's not a mystery. It's something which is known publicly or known. It's well known. Asher teidu v'chantez darko ki ein pached elukim l'neged einav. That is a person who b'chlal is not God-fearing. V'samid yisyatzev al derech lo tov, and that unfortunately the life that this person has chosen is lo tov. It's not good, and that's the path that he always places himself upon, which is lo tov. So Rabbi Yonah says, and we're going to have to see whether or not how we can apply this nowadays. The vast majority of people nowadays who are not God fearing is not because they were raised in a God-fearing environment. Most people now who were not raised with Torah mitzvahs, so they simply don't know whether something is permitted or whether something is forbidden. Certainly when it comes to Ben Adam L'Malkam, between man and God. There are things, Ben Adam L'Chaver, that the person you would expect to know on his or her own, just being a nice person. We'll talk about all these things. But we're dealing here with an individual, which Rabbi Yonah was talking about in the time of the Rishonim, where things were more black and white. In those days. So he says that this is an individual who lives a life that's against Torah, and it's derech lo tov. So mitzvah l'saper b'gnusa. So the mitzvah here, and this is not the b'ditshavah, we're talking about halachically. The mitzvah is lasaper begenuso. The mitzvah is davke not to put it in a positive way, but lasaper begenuso ulegalos is chatoisov, and to reveal and to publicize. This could rarely be applied these days. But to reveal and to publicize this person's sins, ulahavish bali averish be'enei b'nei adam, and to what? To humiliate such a person in the eyes of the people. Ulaman tigal nefesh hashomim es ha'maisim haroim, in order what? In order that all the others who see this will be disgusted, and that will be a motivation for them never to lead that kind of a life. Again, the reason that nowadays it's hard to apply is that Chazon Ish explains in the laws of Shechita, he deals there with a certain detail in Hilchas Shechita, that nowadays it's very rare that we have people of this character, this nature, that are intentionally rebellious against Torah. And in those days, if such a person, for instance, there's a din in the Gemara that you might not be familiar with, and it will sound odd to you. If a person is a heretic, he halachically is considered to be a heretic. He doesn't believe in the oral law. Whatever it might be, he's a heretic. Doesn't believe in Mashiach. Whatever. According to halacha, there's a din that if, let's say, that person is standing by an open pit, when you walk by, there's a din that you give him a little push to kill him. You throw him in to kill him. Maridin v'lomalin. And if you're walking by and there's such a person lying down, the dishes, help me, help me. So the din is, you just say, send my regards to the Malach HaModes, and you walk away. Now, the Chazon Ish says that people nowadays, we see such a thing, we're shocked by that. How could that be? So the Chazon Ish explains that in those days, when there was an absolute clear emunah in Hashgachas Hashem, in Hashem's divine providence, and when the Torah was so widely accepted by Klal Yisrael, that when you had an individual like that, it was so connected the entire nature of Klal Yisrael, that if that person would be treated any other way, it would cause, God forbid, a weakening in the fabric of Klal Yisrael. But the Chazon Ish says that nowadays it's not going to help anybody. People will just see this as being cruel and being unfounded, and we have a different way of understanding things. Not that we're in an ideal situation. We're in less than an ideal situation, and because of that, these type of things would not work. However, strictly speaking, if there would be such an individual who, God forbid, is a Rasha, for instance, let me give an example, even in contemporary times, not of a particular person, but of a type of a Jew who, by all accounts, deserves this kind of treatment. Somebody who masters. You know what it means to master? A Maisa means a Jew who informs on another Jew. A Jew who informs. There were Jews, God, Hashem Yerachem, there were Jews during World War II, or a Jew informs in Russia. There are Jews that inform on another person's business to give. There is an Indian of somebody who masters. A master is a Russia, somebody who does such a thing, and there's a mitzvah to be right of him, to destroy him, to humiliate him, and to publicize his affairs. Otherwise, it's very rare nowadays to conceive of such a thing. V'nemar, it says in Pasuk, Te'aves tzaddikim ish avel. Shlomo Melech says that the tzaddikim, there's an abomination that the tzaddikim have for the wicked, for the one who is wicked. V'nemar, Yiras Hashem snois ra. That the one who fears God despises evil. Despises evil. So the Alter Rebbe, the Tanya, what he said in Perek Lamed Beis, that the Indian is to despise the evil in the person, but not the person himself. And that certainly is what the B'dishma certainly despise the evil in the person, but not the person. For people like us to do such a thing is very, very hard. How do you hate what's wrong with the person, but not the person? But the Tanya says in Perek Lamed Beis that the mitzvah is to despise what's wrong with the person, to hate the Aveira, and to hate all that has brought him to that Aveira, but not to hate the person as a person, as a Jew. It's very hard for us. But the Pasuk says, Yerush Hashem, Sno Yisra, V'amur Rasha ben Tzadik, Mutla Kreis, Rasha ben Rasha, Tzadik ben Rasha, Mutla Kreis, Tzadik ben Tzadik. Nikisira Adam, Ashi Yedab et Dovra, Yasa Maisa, Yesh Lishpray Dvor, Maasei Litzad, Litzad Chayva, Litzad Schuz. So now the Rabbeinu Yonah explains. Kisira Adamasha Yadabadavar, if you see a person who says something, or Yasa Maisa, he does something, the Yeshlishbo Devoramasa Ulitsad Chaiva Ulitsad Haschuz, you see a person doing something or saying something, and you could interpret either in a negative way, that means Chova, Ulitsad Haschuz, or in a positive way. Then, Im ha'isha hu yirei elokim, if it is an observant person, a God-fearing person, nischayavta lodon also lekav schus al derech emes. Then the halacha says that the emes is, to come to the emes, you have to judge the person in a favorable way. Gam ki yir ha'dover karv enayta yoyse etzel adas lekav chayv. Even though the maisi itself, remember I said at the beginning, we have to look at two things, the act and the person. So Rabbeinu says here, if this person is a Yirei Elokim, if he's a God-fearing, observant person, so even though the actual Maisei itself can be interpreted in a negative way, not only that, it's not 50-50. He says, even though it's Nota Yoser Eitzel Adas Nekav Chova, even though rationally it leans more towards the sin. Rationally, Apiyos Seichel, it seems more like there's something that happened that's bad over here. Still, the mitzvah of Betzedek Tishpot comes over here to tell us that you have to do whatever you can and to muster up whatever emunah you have in a Jew and to try what? Betzedek, to try to be done the kafschus. Vim hu min ha-beinanim. So now, probably most of us will feel that this is now talking to us. Ve'im hu min ha-beinonim, if you're one of those Jews that sort of like here, like I said before, amol kosher amol nit, which means ashi yizharu min ha-chet, you try to avoid aveiros, generally you're successful, but upamim yikoshlu vo, sometimes it's a regular person, sometimes he messes up. If you wouldn't say that about, if you see somebody eating a Yom Kippur, right? If you see somebody eating a Yom Kippur, somebody you know eating a Yom Kippur, you know 100% that must be that the doctor or the Rebbe told him, right? The Rav told him. Can't be. But it's not always that clear. So here it's talking about a person who's a Beinoni. Sometimes he generally is observant, but sometimes he's Nechshol. And this Maise again, you watch this person do something, and you have a Suffolk. The Suffolk means you could say like this and you could say like that. It's not totally crazy to see something good, you know, to try to put a positive spin, but it looks like it could be talking something wrong. So Ben Yana says, Yesh alecho lahatais ha-safek ulahachrio lekaf haschus. That's for just about everybody that we know. That you should try Lahatas al-Sofik, to incline or to resolve the doubt by being machriya, by bringing it over to the kafaschus. K'may sha'omru, Rabbi Seinu Zechroinim Levrach, as Chazal have said, Hadan es chaveir lekafaschus, hamokim yedineyu lekafaschus, as we learned last time. That if you will judge somebody lekafaschus, then the Rebbeinu Shel will judge you lekafaschus. Vehi mitzvas asei min ha-Torah. And this is a positive commandment from the Torah. It was by Yirei Chet, by a God-fearing Jew. It's a poshut. But now we're talking about by a Beinoni. So we have stuff like this. A person that's a Rasha, Merusha, God forbid, a Rasha, his whole life is vicious. So then there's no mitzvah to be done on Kafsos. So other Rabbi, you could say whatever you want. And you could interpret it in a negative way. If it's someone that's a Yirei Shemayim, then b'shumayfen you shouldn't. No matter what. And even if it's something that's clearly wrong, certainly he did shuv. But now when we're talking about a regular person is shomer mitzvahs, a person who observes mitzvahs, but sometimes doesn't do things 100% the right way. So then Rabbi Yonah says, you should be machri lekav schus. Even though mitzad the meiser, from the perspective of the act itself, there's what to see in it that's negative, you should be machri lekav schus. And here, you have to try to think about the person and the pnimius and the rots and maybe where did he come from, what did he learn, and so on and so forth. Shenema, or to try to imagine that there were certain circumstances that might have led to that and why the person acted that way. Shenemar, as it says, Betzedek Tishpot Am Yisachah. The other side of the page. Vim Hadov Enoit Lekav Chayvo. Now, let's say it's not like 50-50. Let's say it's really, it really is, it really looks like it's a bad thing. It's the kaf chayva. Now, as you see a beinoni, you know, a regular guy, but the maise looks like it's pretty bad, and it would be very difficult to spin it around. Vim hadavin ait l'kaf chayva. So Benyamin says, yadavin etzlocha kamo safek. Then what? So he says that it should remain in your mind, it could be in your head as a suffix. I mean, again, it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. And the Chofetz Chaim says over here that it would be a gewaldige good midah. It would be a wonderful midah toiva to try to say, to be done the kavsus. But remember I said that sometimes you're not obligated. So here Rabbi Yonah says that if you see an average person and the act itself is very much on this negative side, yadav ratzlach kamo suffix, then you leave it as a suffix, as a doubt. Don't come to the absolute conclusion that it's an aveira. Just, it could remain as a suffix, and the Chofetz Chaim says that it would be a midah tova over here. It would be a midah tova, if possible, to try, and certainly a midah chassidus, to try to bring it over in a good way. Like the B'nitzvah did, to bring it in a good way. But you're not obligated to. If it's an average person, and this looks pretty bad, and it's pretty clear to you, then it would be good to, it would be nice to, it would be midas chassidus, but you're not obligated. You should try to leave it as a suffix and to just walk away. The im ha'isha hu, however, if this person, rov ma'isa l'roya, and he ends it again and he says, but if we're dealing with a person and most of his actions in life, rov ma'isav, most of his ma'isam are what? Are leroa, are not good, are negative. Oh, bechanto ki ein yiras elokim b'levavo. It's somebody that's clearly not God-fearing. Then tachriya ma'isav l'dvar v'lekav chayva. He comes back to that, and he says, then the hachra, then your decision can be a negative one. Shenemar, maskil tzadik lebeis rosha, misalif rishoyim lera, ukvayek dam lucha perusha. That the tzadik is wise. The tzadik knows that the house of a rosha, the house of a wicked person, is filled with evil. And as a result of that, the tzadik knows to distance himself from that place. Because, of course, there is a danger in trying to, for an average person, to see only good in a rosha. And the danger in that could be that, as a result of that, you might associate in a way with that person in ways that you shouldn't associate with him. And you might become friendly, and obviously that could have an impact upon your life and the life of your family. So we're not oblivious to evil. The Torah, Rabbi Yonah says, we are not allowed to remain oblivious to Rishoyim. There are those who are wicked. And even if they're not wicked, because their intention is not wicked, nevertheless, there are situations which it could be that for no fault of their own, and you should be down the kafschus, the Jew, as a person, the kafschus. That doesn't mean that you have to necessarily send your kids over to spend Shabbos over there or to have some pajama party. You understand? If there are things that are there, in other words, so you can imagine if this would be taken to an extreme, and so you'd say, well, since there's a mitzvah down the kav schus, it must be that I mean, when I went in that house, I saw something, you know, I saw something crazy on the television. I went to pick up my kid last time, let's say. I walked and I see something crazy on the television. And all the kids are sitting there like a popcorn, you know, looking at this crazy thing on the television. So now you say, well, we went to the shir Tuesday night, and it seems like there's a big union to be down the kav schus. So therefore, I to be down the kav schus, I'm going to send my kids again. The Torah doesn't say we're supposed to be naive. And I mentioned this on Shabbos. I mentioned that Rabbi Aaron Carlos said about the Chofetz Chaim that you can't utnar, you couldn't fool the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim loved Jews in the deepest way, but you couldn't sell them the goods. And that means that loving another person and trying to see the good in another person does not mean that you send your children to be in the house if there are things there that are not being done kehalacha properly. And that's, again, that's up to the parents to decide what they think is to be appropriate, not appropriate. I'm not getting into that, but whatever is, if you saw something that's inappropriate, and maybe even, you know, you've tried talking to the person, perhaps it doesn't seem that they really want to change the kind of stuff that they're watching, whatever. I'm not getting into the details, but all parents are in these uncomfortable situations, what to do. So the Torah says, are you obligated to be down the kavsus, and in doing so to jeopardize the neshamas of your kids? The Torah says, of course not. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. But what would be the chiluk? The chiluk would be that even though you would find a way not to send your kid there, that doesn't mean that you tell your neighbor, Sarula, this person is, and the whole world has to know that this is what happened, and that's what they do, and they have this kind of, and they watch the television, and what kind of shows are. That already is, there's no mitzvah in that. Right? To prevent your children from being in a place where you know that there are things that are taking place, that you don't have to put a positive spin. Maybe they were really watching Uncle Moshe. And something, it was a crazy thing. It was like a bolt of lightning. And something happened with the TV company. And all of a sudden, like instead of Uncle Moshe, there was like, there was like Tuesday Night at the Movies or something. No. There's not to be upnar, to be fooled. That's not the way of the Torah that a Jew should be naive and fooled. And therefore, maskil tzaddik lebeis rosh mesalif rishoyim lera, that one has to know that this is the metzias, this is the reality, and that even though I'm dan lekav schus of where the person's coming from, and not to put a negative spin on it, still I understand that this is what's this. It seems to me that this is what's going on. The person is at best somebody who's not a tzaddik but a beinoni. Some use a Beinoni. And it would be the same thing, by the way. It could be someone that is a Talmud Chacham, that's a scholar, and people say, he really knows how to learn, but the way that you've heard him, that Talmud Chacham talked to his wife or children in a nasty way. Which, by the way, could oftentimes be more damaging than what they saw on the television. So they hear something to hear something negative, or he talks to his wife, and God forbid, in a degrading way. So do you have to say, no, it must be that he did tshuva right after that. And it must be he doesn't talk to his wife that way. You could be choshed in halacha not to send your kids to that house. You're not allowed to go talk to people, but you're allowed to be choshed for your children that I don't want them being in a house where I've heard, in my own ears, I heard him say such a thing to his wife, talk to his wife, or she spoke to him in a nasty way. And you don't want that for your children. That's not being called dan lekav schus. We'll talk more about that. Dan lekav schus is a way to try to see the best in that person and to try to come to the depths of the person, but it doesn't mean to ignore meisim, the actions that are inappropriate. And if I have to be dan lekav schus, and this is very hard, being dan lekav schus will influence how I look at the person and how I think of that person and how I talk about the person. But it doesn't change my resolve regarding whether my children should associate with his children or be in that house and so on and so forth. And how to draw the line, we're going to talk about this much more when we get into the Musar, into the Chassidus. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll meet again next week. So Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to be back here 9 o'clock. Until that time, let's try to begin working on this in you. I'll assume that you're all working on it, and you'll assume that I will. Okay.